We are. We are on page Tuftet at the bottom of the right-hand column, where you see the letter Dalet. Hatzalaso b'Shabbos. Saving somebody on Shabbos if that person attempted to take his own life. Last week, we talked about the definition of Ibud Ladat, the definition of attempting to take one's own life within Halacha, and we said that it's not simple and straightforward. We said that in order for someone to be categorized as attempting to take his own life, there has to be an explicit statement that that's what the person wants to do. There has to be an act by him in which he clearly does the act that ends his life. He has to be seen to be intending to do this. So if he acts in anger, if he acts with some kind of display of stress. And also, we added the idea that the person has to be warned, don't do this. And he does it. And there can't be the possibility that he recanted. And by the way, if the person is suffering from some kind of ailment, that we talked about depression, for example, something that puts him out of his right mind, then the person also is not considered to be someone who committed suicide. So we have all of these different criteria that we added that really limit the category as far as some of the classic treatments for someone who commits suicide. And then we dealt with the case of the person who's not successful. The question of someone who attempts it, but then we're able to rescue the person. And we talked about saving that person during the week. And we discussed, the last bit that we discussed was the position taken by the Radvaz on the Rambam, saying that you don't own your body. And therefore, in the event that a person says, don't save me, that's not his option. He doesn't have the right to say, don't save me. Leave aside the complicated question, which we've dealt with on other occasions, about medical treatment which is painful or risky, and the person says, I don't want to go through that. That's a category in and of itself. But assuming we're not dealing with that kind of a situation, where the life-saving method is not going to involve great pain for the person and is not going to involve danger to his life in and of itself, he's not entitled to decline rescue. That's the principle during the week. And that brings us to the Shabbos discussion and the question of breaking Shabbos in order to save this person. So, again, I am required to save
him. He's written the whole story and he's published everything. Yeah. Whole,
So I'm still required to save him. He doesn't have the right to refuse. That's what we're saying. The idea of my body, my choice, as far as taking one's life, is not relevant. Yeah.
And these people eventually will do it.
Yeah, that's my job is to save him now. I can't worry about the fact that tomorrow he may succeed. I have to expend whatever resources I have to try to save his life right now. Now, you're going to ask me the triage question. What if I have a choice between one person and another? And that would be okay. Yeah. Okay. So
what happens if somebody is poisoning themselves with something? Do you have any obligation? Because there are drugs or behavior, etc., in society where you know that they will eventually kill themselves.
Right. So I have a responsibility to intervene.
Responsibility, but socially, like you were Rabbi Yeshua, you saw all kinds of people. You saw all kinds of things happening, and you saw family dynamics, etc.
Because there are people you...
Interesting. Right. In other words, they're doing it with not knowing they're going to die, but observing their community, they're going to kill them.
There are people you can't help. A lot depends on your position. So for example, I know that there is somebody who smokes. It is not within my capacity to stand with that person all day long and pull the cigarettes out of his mouth. It's simply not doable. So you'll say, but then you're letting him take his own life. Leave aside the question of whether it's dangerous for him, maybe he has a genetic exception or whatever. The nuances are the nuances. But the bottom line is that there are interventions that aren't available to me. But I'm required to make use of the interventions that are available to me.
But as a rabbi, if you see somebody doing something which is detrimental to somebody's health, And he's still coming through as a conduit. He's still welcome on every day. You don't say to him, don't come to Shul unless you reform.
No. That's true, because that relationship doesn't really put me in a position to be
that's
able
right.
to tell him what
so
to
there's
do.
Two, that's right. So if you can't tell him what to do, then you have to let him do what he's doing.
And you find your opportunities to find ways to be an influence, just like everybody else. You know, parents and children, right? Parents, you know, as their children get older, find that they have less ability to control what their children are going to do, if they ever had control in the first place. And they have to find other ways to be an influence. So that's your responsibility. In the same way that we have a...
You don't believe in predestiny, etc. You don't believe in a genetic print in the person's mind and destiny, etc.
I don't think it matters.
Well, it does matter because if somebody wants to kill themselves by whichever means, whether socially acceptable or not socially, well, they're...
I don't think it matters. So let's say they have a genetic imprint. Let's say they have a proclivity for, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is. They're dealing with clinical depression. And you know, that doesn't entitle me to wash my hands of the situation and say, well, too bad. Yeah, I'm required to do what I'm required to do. And if I won't succeed, I won't succeed. But I have to do the best I can. It's like any other mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, any other time we have a social mitzvah involving aiding another person. There are no guarantees. We talked about this ages ago when we asked the question of whether there is a bracha. No, you know what? It wasn't this chabura. I'm sorry. It was the chabura on business ethics. So we're dealing with lending and why there's no bracha on the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. So there are numerous explanations for where there is a bracha on a mitzvah and where there is not. But one of the points is you can't make a bracha on a mitzvah which is dependent on the other person. If the other person doesn't accept it, then the mitzvah hasn't taken place. So does that mean I'm now exempt from trying to give tzedakah because it depends on him accepting it? Of course not. I still have to give it. I just don't make a bracha on it. There are also other reasons not to make a bracha on tzedakah. It's beyond the scope of right now. But let's see here the discussion about breaking Shabbos to save the person, because this is fascinating because it involves a story that you may have heard at some point. It's the sort of story that they tell in day schools in parts, but they don't tell you the ending of the story. And you need to know the ending of the story because it's directly relevant to this topic. Take a look at Source Aleph on your added sheets, because the Nishmas Avram is going to deal with it, but you need to see the story before he deals with it. Talmud Bavli, Yuma Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. Here is a brisa. Okay, it's a source contemporary to the Mishnah, but not canonized in the Mishnah. Aniva Ashir V'Rasha Ba'in Ledin. On the day of judgment, after a person passes away, a pauper is going to come to be judged. A wealthy person is going to come to be judged. A wicked person is going to come to be judged. And the point is not to be judged, but to debate. There's going to be a debate between God and this person about the way they lived their lives. La'ani omrim lo, mipnei ma lo asakta b'torah. They're going to say to the poor person, no word on who they is, but they are going to say to the poor person, why didn't you involve yourself in learning Torah? So im omer, if he says, Ani Hayisi, I was impoverished, Vitarud Bimizono Sai, and I was distracted with trying to support myself. Omrimlo, they will say to him, Klum Ani Hayisa Yosemi Hillel, were you any more impoverished than Hillel was? And now we're going to get a story about Hillel, and then after that the Gemara goes on, we're not going to see it now, to talk about the wealthy person and why he says I was too distracted in order to be able to learn, and the wicked person, he says, well, I was too handsome and involved with other things, and they say, well, were you like Yosef? And that's a whole discussion in the Gemara. But right now we're dealing with the person who is impoverished and says, I'm sorry, I was busy making a living. So they say to him, you know, Hillel was also busy making a living. Amru Allah al Hillel Hazakin, they said about Hillel, Shebechol Yom Bayom Haya Osa Umistakir Betropik, that every day he worked, and we know from other sources, I believe, that he worked in gathering wood and selling it to people for firewood. So he would work, and he would earn a tropik, a small coin. Chetzio Haya Nosen Lashomer Beis HaMedrash, half of it he would give to the guard at the Beis Medrash, because it was a fee to get into the Beis Medrash, because you had to pay for the heating. So half he would give to the guard. And half he would keep to support himself and to support the people of his household. Okay, clearly it wasn't such a big amount, but that's what he had. Once, one day, he didn't find any buyers. or he didn't find any wood. And so the guard at the Beis Medrash said, I'm sorry, you can't come in. Right? And you can imagine, because it's Hillel. He doesn't say, well, don't you know I'm Hillel? They won't let him in. Allah, v'nisla, v'yashav al pi aruba. So what did he do? He went up to the roof, and he hung on there over the skylight. Right? You heard the story? I see that I missed here. I always try to avoid the Shemos, but there are Shemos here on this sheet. So please either give it back to me or put it in Shemos when you're done with it. My mistake. I didn't catch the Shem Hashem. Divrei Elokim Chaim on the fourth line. So he went up and he sat on the skylight so that he would hear the words of Hashem. Mipi Shmaya v'Avtalion, from his teachers Shmaya and Avtalion. He wanted to hear in Beis Medrash. We're on the first source. Amru, they said, Oso Hayom Erev Shabbos Haya. That was Friday. Utkufas Teves Haisa. And it was during the winter. V'yarad olav sheleg min hashamayim, and it snowed. Okay, snow in Israel. Kisha olav arashachar, when the morning came, Amar lo Shmaya Avtalion. Shmaya says to Avtalion, Avtalion achi, my brother Avtalion, v'chol yom habayit meir, every day there's light in the Beis Medrash. V'hayom afel, but today it's dark. Shema yom hameunanu, maybe is it cloudy? Is that why we can't see? So they look up and they see there's the shape of a person up on the skylight. They find on him piled up 3 amos of snow. Now, I have to admit, I'm not clear about this skylight. Clearly, this isn't the glass skylight. You didn't have a base manager with a glass skylight. So I'm not entirely clear on what he's on top of that would have allowed light otherwise. I'm certainly not clear on what day in Israel they ever had 3 amos of snow. There's something wrong with this story.
But it's a little bit of an exaggeration just to kind of emphasize his passion for learning, that even while 3 amos of snow fell, he still didn't move.
Right. No, that's likely true. This is in Israel. Hillel's in Israel. I don't know where. I don't think he's Tzipori, but maybe he's Tzipori. But I think he's before Tzipori. I think he may. I don't know. But either way, I mean, 3 amos is you're talking about 5 feet of snow almost. Yes, they were skiing when they were learning. We do say the height of a human being in the Gemara is gauged as an amma by an amma by 3 amos. So it's like the height of a human being on top of Hillel. But in any case, they find that he's buried under snow that apparently wouldn't have been there otherwise, because it wouldn't have blocked the skylight and they would have been able to get light. So again, I'm not clear on the specifics of the story, but it doesn't matter. You heard this story before, right? They go in and they bring it in. What you probably did not hear, because I didn't hear when I learned this story in day school, is that it was Shabbos. Right? We said Erev Shabbos, Haisa. It was Erev Shabbos. So, Parkuhu, they freed him from the snow. Virchitzuhu, and they bathed him. Visichuhu, and they anointed him with oil. Voshivuhu keneged hamadura, and they put him opposite the fire. Amru, they said, Ra'ui zeh lechalel olav es haShabbos. They said, for someone like this, it's worthy to violate Shabbos. So, why am I bringing you this story? Because Hillel went up and did this willingly. He put himself in this position. He could have died. He put himself in this position, and yet they break Shabbos for him. On the other hand, they say, this one is worthy of them breaking Shabbos for him. Implying, this one, and not somebody else. So how do I take this story? So having read this, take a look, please, at Mishnah Sefarah.
And they really could have said that he was almost dead, and that's why they didn't call the Shabbos to revive him. But they didn't say that.
They didn't say that at all. They said, for him, we're Mechallel Shabbos, but applying for somebody else, we would not.
Right.
Yes. So we are on Tough Test at the bottom, where it says Hatzalasa B'Shabbos. Letter Dalet, Hatzalasa B'Shabbos. So it says, Gam B'Shabbos, meaning we save him even on Shabbos. Mishe Ichnis es Atzmo L'Sakana, somebody who enters into danger, puts himself in danger. Oshenisala abedes atzmoladas, or not just puts himself in danger, but actually actively tries to end his life knowingly. Venimtsa b'matzav mesukan, and so he ends up in a dangerous position. Mechal in olav ez haShabbos. The halacha is that we violate Shabbos on his behalf. That's the halacha. But then he says, Ure'e be'ion Yaakov al ma'isa de'Hillel. Look at the Ion Yaakov on Hillel's story. U'be'perusho shel ha'gaon chida. And the explanation of the chida. So on your side sheet, I brought you both. Source base is the parish of the Ion Yaakov on Hillel's story. It is brought in the Tzitz Eliezer, and that's where I copied it from. Ba'oso hayom era Shabbos hayo utkufas teves hayo. Right, as we said in the Gemara, that day it was Friday, and it was Friday evening, and it was in the winter. Klomar meaning da'ach shahaya erev Shabbos, even though it was Friday. Valpi arov misgaber hakrirus be'erev Shabbos v'nasnu ha'olam simon v'karkar kol b'nei sheis. And he says you should know it generally gets colder on Fridays. I don't know what kind of a table of meteorological data he was using, but I will tell you that in Toronto, I absolutely believe it. It always seems like somehow the weather knows that I'm going to have to walk to shul, and the dips on a
but
Friday.
But do you ever walk to shul other days to test it?
No. I'm not talking about that. Like, I will look in advance at the weather report, and I will see that the numbers are actually lower. I don't. You have to study this. This is study this. See where it goes. But they even have a certain mnemonic for it. The pasuk v'karkar kol b'nei sheis from Parshas Balak. The kar, and b'nei sheis like Erev Shabbos, fine. V'gam tkufas teves darko lios gover akrius, and in the season of teves, that's the winter. So that's when it gets colder. V'afilu hachi sikein atzmo b'shvil avas haTorah, and nonetheless he endangered himself for the love of Torah. V'samach atzmo amadich siv shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. He depended upon the pasuk that says one who guards a mitzvah, nothing bad will happen to him. So now he says, I understand what it means in the Gemara when they say this one is suited that we should violate Shabbos for him. Because this is difficult. Why should he be any different from anybody else? We break Shabbos to save anybody. A day-old kid we would save. What is special about Hillel that we say, oh, he is suitable? Elevadai de Efsher de Beacher Havi Kemaabed Atzmo Ladas, Shalohaya Lalahavi Atzmo Lide Sakana Kazushi, it's Derech Lachal Lesasha, all of us a Shabbos. The answer is, for anybody else, I would not violate Shabbos. For anybody else, I would say no. He did this on purpose, he endangered himself. I'm not now going to have to violate Shabbos for him. Rak Bazet, Sha'asa Kol Lichvod HaTorah, Roi Lechal Olives HaShabbos Afiki Agavna. Hillel is unique because he clearly was not doing this to harm himself. He was doing it for the positive motivation of the honor of Torah. So the Ion Yaakov's position is, normally I will not save someone who attempts to end his life on Shabbos. That's the position of the Ion Yaakov.
Very problematic.
Yeah, because?
Because, for several reasons, but the one that comes out is that never mind that it was Hillel and you can't gauge who is worthy and who's not worthy, but it's problematic because we just learned that you have to save somebody's life on Shabbos even if they try to commit suicide.
Right, and he's disagreeing.
And he's disagreeing, but really he wasn't trying to commit suicide. He did something foolish that put him in danger. So we learned that if you have to save somebody who tries to commit suicide, Allah had kama v'kama, you should save somebody that did something foolish that put him or her in a position of dying.
Right. He doesn't accept the premise. He doesn't accept that you have to save someone who tries to commit suicide. What he's doing is he's approaching this as though it's a blank question. Do I or don't I? And he understands from the fact that in the Gemara they state, for this one we would do it, that there must be two classes. One we would save, one we would not save. What's the distinction between the two classes? The one who does what he does that results in the danger to his life. But he doesn't do it as an attempt to kill himself. He does it for some other reason, like, hell, he's doing it to learn Torah. We'll see. The one who does it as an act of, he wants to end his life, that one we won't save.
But you can counter and say the opposite. Somebody who does it for to endanger his own life or to kill himself is clearly not mentally stable or competent and needs help and he needs medical attention. Hillel did it because he wanted to learn. That's very beautiful, but he knew he was endangering himself, and to what extent are you allowed to endanger yourself? There's only three mitzvahs in the Torah that are Yareg Valiyah, or you're not allowed to put yourself in a place of suffering for learning.
Right. So two things. One is, I don't know that Hillel is thinking about the danger, despite the fact that, yes, it was Friday and it was winter and so on. That's number one. But number two, and I think more important, is the fact that he's not approaching the question. Ian Yaakov is not approaching the question as, what do I do in a case in which someone ends his life or tries to end his life? He's approaching the question as, what do I do with this source? In other words, there are multiple ways to approach paskening a question. But all approaches must deal with the relevant sources in Torah. So I can't approach this and say, well, I wouldn't save Hillel. Because the source already told me they did save Hillel. And they saved Hillel thinking that he had done this, endangering himself. So what cannot emerge from this is a conclusion of don't save Hillel, because it flies in the face of the Gemara. So what he's trying to do is figure out, why am I saving Hillel, and why would I not save somebody else? And the distinction that he wants to draw is that Hillel isn't trying to end his life. Hillel is doing this for a different reason. That's the idea. Why should it be?
Because for sure they
but the Gemara says Hillel is different. The Gemara gives you need what you're going to need to do in the event that you want to push this is tell me who you would not save, such that you'll maintain the Gemara's distinction.
But we don't have that concept in Judaism that we distinguish between who's worthy.
But we do. It's right here in the Gemara.
No, except for this. We don't have that.
But we have to answer for this.
It's very unethical. Very unethical.
Is it unethical? Society does this all the time.
Yeah, but that's not...
Society makes these decisions every day.
Yeah, but in Judaism, we don't do that, except for this source.
Is that true? That's not entirely true.
No? Why? Where do you not save somebody's life?
If that person poses a threat to others.
That's different.
Okay, that's okay.
That makes it distinction.
Yeah.
Not even where he does it intentionally, even where he does it unintentionally. The Gemara talks about the case in which bandits surround the town or surround a caravan, and they say, release this person to us, so we're going to kill him, or else we're going to kill everybody. So we give him over.
But we don't call
now, there is. I'm cheating by giving that case, because the truth is they're going to kill him anyway. Yes, you do.
But we don't quantify.
We're going to kill him anyway.
We don't quantify whether that's somebody's life is more worthy than
it. See, again, you can't argue with the source. You have to explain the source. Saying I don't like the source doesn't work. Yeah, I shouldn't have brought the caravan.
For somebody, then they were allowed to give that person up.
Correct.
But there's so many stories where they didn't.
Because it's a really hard thing to actually do. The fact that halacha says you can do it, or even that you must do it, doesn't mean that people will. That's the reality, because people are people. We're human beings.
The only time that you can really make that value judgment is if it's between your life, your own life, and somebody else's. That's the only time that I'm aware of, except for this source, that you can quantify.
Right. And that's another example, by the way, what you just mentioned, right? The classic source in which we are told, if you have enough water just for one person, right? And it's you and somebody else. So you're supposed to drink, if it's your water that you're holding on to, then you're supposed to drink it. But I will tell you right now that most people will not do that. Most people who end up in that situation cannot countenance the idea that they're going to drink and watch somebody else dehydrate. It's just not, it's not human. And that's so even though halacha says do it, that doesn't mean people are going to do it. But I want to see what we can do with this. Yeah.
One comment is that nobody ever did it before. Nobody went up to the sky.
Yeah.
The second comment is nobody asked Hillel Why did you do that?
Correct.
So he's on
that answer.
No, but he could have said, because I'm going to listen to Varalahim crying, I know that I'm doing, put myself in a suffering. But because I'm doing it, Hashem Shemayim, I'm going to test the envelope and nothing's going to happen.
Could be he thought that. I suspect not, because I'm stuck with something else, which we haven't touched on at all, which is, this is Friday night. What happens like all the mitzvahs of Shabbos? Right? Hell's going to miss all the mitzvahs of Shabbos? I don't think he intends
that. These guys never went anywhere. They were in the Beit Midrash all night. Because otherwise they would have known.
They were in the Beit Midrash in the morning. They woke up early. They came to the Beit Midrash.
Right, but they knew there was snow. They knew it was dark. But they knew it was dark. They said it's dark because there's snow on that
opening.
Because
they came to Beis Medrash Shabbos morning before light. And they're sitting there in the Beis Medrash, and they're thinking, you know, Kriyas HaTorah is going to be difficult because there's no light coming in. Somebody look up at the skylight. And they look up at the skylight and realize, oh, there's a man up there. No wonder we can't see anything. That's the way it works. But let's take a look at Source Gimel, because the Chida gives you a different read of this passage. Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, says the following: Ro'i ze lechalel olav es haShabbos yesh lahavid ma chidush hazeh. What was the novelty here? Oh, for him we're going to violate Shabbos. V'lo pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos. Right? The opening question. Our classic question, saving a life, overwrite Shabbos. V'od and further, d'cheshem matz'uhu kodem sheparkuhu v'chule. When it said they found him before they... the wording in the Gemara, it says... If you caught the wording, it said they found him. Parkuhu, they released him. They bathed him, they anointed him with oil, they put him by the fire, which is the desecration of Shabbos point. Because you're now going to heat up the oil that's on him. Nothing else that you've done here has actually violated Shabbos. Maybe the Durabanan for bathing this whole body, maybe there. Okay. But then they said, after that, Roizel Chalas HaShabbos, right? So he says, Kodem Sheparkuhu, before they did all this, releasing him and so on, Havalohu Lameima Roizel Chalas HaShabbos, they should have said, oh, for him we can violate Shabbos. You made the statement after you already violated Shabbos. I don't understand. V'achach Yomar Parkuhu V'chule, and then it should have said that they did all this. V'lochach Shanasu Kolamasim, not after they did everything. The Esher, and he says it could be, Dehain Emes, Delachol Adam Yisrael Mutar Lachal Al Shabbos. The truth of the matter is, you violate Shabbos for anybody, the way we assumed. Omnam, however, Esher De Achar Kach, Zeha Adam Shechilu Shabbos Ba'avuro Yagdil Avonos Me'od. It could be that after you do that, this person is going to then sin grievously. Right, this person for whom you violated Shabbos, right, and you took care of him, goes off and does averos. The b'tov lo and lo chilu alav Shabbos vayemeis. In which case, he would have been better off had he not been saved.
It's like the mumar.
Sort of like the mumar, yeah. In other words, it's not about me. It's about him. That if I save him only so that he can pile up sin upon sin, then it would have been better off if I hadn't done so. For his sake, not for my sake. What I did was right. It's not, in that case, in that way, it's not like the mumar. It's not like the mumar in terms of me. It's like the mumar in terms of him. He would have been better off. Baram, however, imut tzadik gamur meresh v'ad kan. But if he's been fully righteous from the beginning until now, lazem mitzvah gadol l'hatzilo, then there's great mitzvah of saving him. V'zeu sha'amru achar shekvar pirku. So after they redeemed, after they freed him, then they said, roi ze l'chalel olav. It's suitable to do this. Kolomar ze tzadik gamur chazu gavra shelo roi v'nos l'chal olav haShabbos. See this man, that for him it's worthy and it's appropriate to violate Shabbos. Dehu masar atzmo l'misa b'shvil haTorah v'nis kadesh kol gufo. Because he gave himself to death in order to learn Torah, and he is fully sanctified. He is entirely holy. In other words, the way the Chida reads it, we say we break Shabbos for everybody. The person tried to end his life, doesn't matter, we're going to violate Shabbos on his behalf. That part is clear. However, the in terms of the follow through and what's going to happen for him later, for this one it's really worthy, because this is going to be good. He's going to go on and do wonderful things. Not, in other words, ra'ui is not a statement of halacha. That's really what he's getting at. This statement that they made of it's suitable to break Shabbos for him was not a halachic declaration of we should save him, we shouldn't save others. Rather, having saved him, they said, wow, you know, someone like this is going to justify what we just did because he's going to go out and do great things. That's the idea, which frankly is more consistent with the story. In other words, it doesn't sound like a halakhic statement. As he noted, it's what they said afterwards. Parenthetically, I also sort of wonder, because if it's dark up there, because there's no light, and there's 3 amos of snow on top of him, you can't really identify who's up there. So they did all this first. They couldn't have known who was up there on the roof. And therefore, I would assume that they're making this decision not, oh, it's Hillel, therefore we're going to save him, but they're making the decision, there's a human being up there, let's go get him down. And then afterwards, we'll figure out, we see who it is, and we say, oh, him, that was really worthwhile to save him. I think that's the way to read it, and that's the Chida's read. And it does preserve this idea that that we do violate Shabbos to save somebody, which is indeed the halacha. Okay, and then he says, "Re'ei Masha Kasabti Krach Beis Yeradeus Simishim and Hemshimim Hey Sakan Aleph Emein Sakana Lechayav." The Nishmas Avram closes the thought by saying, "You see what I wrote elsewhere. This is in the laws of death regarding where there's no danger to the person's life." And taking care of this person. That's a separate note. Okay. We're now up to Hay in the Nishmas Avram, where he takes us a little bit further in discussing the laws of somebody who attempts suicide. Ma dino hayom. What is his status today? Now that we have already said that we saved the person and we gave all these different conditions in order for him to even be called someone who attempts to take his life. The phrase in Hebrew is an instructive phrase. Ma'abed atzmo ladas, someone who tries to take his own life, knowingly. The word knowingly is a very important word. So he says, v'hayom, today, rov rubam me'elu sheminasim la'abed atzmo ladas, osim kein ekev machlas hadika on, o machla nafshit acheret. He says, most of the people, and rov rubam means the vast majority, of those who attempt to take their lives knowingly, do it because of depression or some other emotional illness. The gam hamiut einam osim elami pachad yisurim osevel kasha, and even the minority only do this out of fear of suffering or some other kind of suffering. Whether you know, yisurim is usually physical suffering, but either physical suffering or just general suffering that they're enduring. Which in parentheses he says, which we've already noted, halachic authorities say doesn't count as suicide in the first place if one is attempting to avoid pain. We talked about that from Shaul HaMelech. So that's where he's going with this. V'gam hamiut dimiuta sha'osim zos machmas ka'as v'chule, and even the minority of the minority who aren't doing it out of pain or depression, they're doing it because of anger or something. Einam nikra ma'abed atzmo ladas, that's also not called that. Based on the rules we saw last week, brought in the Shulchan Aruch as well as the Ben Yishchai. Umemela lo mabaya lefi yeser aposkim hanal shemuter v'gam chayav lenasas latzilo v'afilu b'shabbos. He says, so it's not a question according to this great majority of halachic authorities who we mentioned, who will certainly say that it's permitted and therefore obligatory to save him. Elayesh lomar da'afilu ledas hamenchas chinuch gam yemuter and therefore chayav latzilo mikem and shlonikra ma'abed atzmo ledas. He says, therefore, he says, you could say that even the strict view will say you have to save such a person nowadays. Because they're doing it out of emotional illness or they're doing it to avoid pain. What's he talking about with the Menchas Chinuch? So take a look, please, at Source Dalet. Source Dalet on your side sheets is from the Menchas Chinuch, where he discusses this issue. He says, Nira lech ora, the Minchas Chinuch, it's in his note, comments on Mincha. He's commenting on the Mincha, on the Sefer HaChinuch, regarding saving somebody's life. He says, Nira lech ora, dim echad ma'abed atzmo ledaz, v'yochol echa v'hatzilo. If somebody tries to end his life, and somebody else can save him, Eshar de'eno muzhar al halav, it could be he is not instructed in the prohibition, and the prohibition that he's talking about is losamot al dam re'ah. Let me actually preface. That's good to give an introduction here. There is a prohibition of losamot al dam re'ah. Don't stand by while the blood of your brother is shed. There is a mitzvah aseh, an active mitzvah as well, of v'hashevo solo. Restore it to him. Just like you have to save a person's property if it's in danger, so too you have to save his life. That's an active mitzvah. So he says it could be that you're not obligated in the prohibition of lo sa'amod al dam re'echa, where he is trying to get rid of it. Lo mabaya de'al ha'aseh v'hashev oso l'rabo saved as gufo v'adai enu mitzvah. He says you're certainly not instructed in the mitzvahs aseh of restoring his life to him. Why? Ki ha'aseh da'ashavas aveda eina no heges b'mamon ba'aveda midas k'mavur b'shochan aruch hoshin mishpat. He says, look, my mitzvah of restoring his property to him doesn't apply if he throws out his property. Right? If I see somebody knowingly, I'm not talking about not knowingly, but somebody knowingly takes something valuable of his and throws it down the drain, I have no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda that I have to now dive down after it and get it for him. So therefore, he says, I also, that same thing is true regarding his life. But he says, even regarding this prohibition of lo sa'amod al dam re'echa, you're also not obligated. Why? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks, Lamali halav al toveya banahar. The Gemara in Sanhedrin asks an interesting question. If I have a mitzvah for restoring a person's life because of Hashavas Aveda, why do I need a separate prohibition that says, and don't stand by the blood of your brother? You already know you have a mitzvah. Right? Hama v'hashevo solo nafkole l'rabo zavedas gufa. I already know it from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. That's the first question. So he says, if it was true that lo sa'amod al dam re'echa applied in the case of suicide, then hayacholomar dinafkamina v'ma'abed atzmo l'das de'enu mitzuva al ayedin Hashavas Avedas gufa. You could have answered, because the assay doesn't apply, the commandment doesn't apply when he tries to destroy himself, but the los aseh does. Right? Again, there's an aseh and a los aseh. The Gemara asks, if I have an aseh, why do I need a los aseh? What does the los aseh add? But if you believe that the aseh doesn't apply to suicide, but the los aseh does apply, then that's what the Gemara should have said. That's why I need it. The same way that he's not obligated to restore the person's property if the guy throws it out knowingly, so too regarding his life. In Cain, al Cain, kasva tarah halav hazeh. That's why the Torah presented this prohibition. Ella al korchach degam belav hazeh eino muzharu mitzuva. Cain nirali boros. The Menchas Chinuch position is, the answer in fact is, that I am exempt from the mitzvah of lo sa'amod al dam re'echa if a person is trying to destroy himself. That's the Menchas Chinuch's position. Nothing to do with Shabbos and violating Shabbos. He just says, I am exempt from the obligation. And that is where the Nishmas Avram quotes it and says, even the Menchas Chinuch will not say that regarding a person who tries to commit suicide, as we're discussing here, because he says the great majority of them are dealing with emotional pain, they're dealing with depression, or they're dealing with some great anger, and they're not in their right mind at the time. That's what he says. You're not obligated to save him. That's Menchas Chinuch, but the Nishmas Avram says he's not talking about somebody who's under duress. He still had somebody who knowingly and willingly says he wants to end his life without being in pain. He's bored. He says, you know what? I'm tired of living. No, he's not in any great pain. That's the case where the Menchas Chinuch would say this. That's what the Nishmas Avram puts forth.
Sorry, my problem with the Minchat Chinuch is, doesn't he have it a little backwards? Because really, the first mitzvah, one of the first mitzvah that we get in Bereishit is Lo Tamod Al Dam Re'echa. No, sorry, that's the one in the Sheva Mitzvah, but in something else, but in Sod and Vayikra, where we have it. So, isn't that, I mean, why doesn't he just say it the other way around? Like, why does he say that? It's so much more clear
understand.
It's much clearer to talk about this mitzvah in terms of lota modal dam re'echa than to have to darshan through hashava d'aveda that it also includes.
That's not the Menachas Chinuch. That's the Gemara itself. He's quoting the Gemara. The Gemara is the one that says we have this mitzvah of hashava d'aveda. Why do I need the losa say of lota modal dam re'echa? I don't think hashava d'aveda is actually a reach. In other words, once you're telling me I am obligated to restore someone's property, certainly I'm obligated to restore his life.
Okay.
I think the reason why the Gemara says once I have an assay, why do I need a los assay, is because an assay mandates action. A los assay allows for the possibility that I'm not aware or whatever it is. The assay says go out and do. So I think that's why they say, well, if I have the assay, why do I need the los assay? Now, there are answers that you can give. A los assay imposes penalties. If I miss an assay, so I'm supposed to bring a korban ola, but there's no official obligation, there's no official penalty for missing a mitzvah assay, other than Pesach and Bris Milah. That's the answer for what the los assay adds. It adds teeth. But he says they didn't give the answer of the case of suicide. That implies that just like I'm exempt from the assay, so too I'm exempt from the los assay. That's the idea. Now, one last point on this. Take a look at source Hay, please. Chelkas Yaakov. He comments on that idea of the Menachas Chinuch, of Yaakov Breish. He says, V'achidush din, she'e'elah ha-Menachas Chinuch, be'komets le'mincha reish la'mitzayim. We just quoted this novelty of the Menachas Chinuch, that you would in fact be exempt. De'ma'abed atzmo l'das, ein mechuyavan la'tzilo be'emes, le'fi'ini is daiti tzarech iyun. He says, this idea that if he tries to take his life, you have to save him, he says, I've got to tell you the truth. That requires examination, in my humble opinion. Chada ka'amur shezeh shnei hafeichim benosei echad. Dim yesh evsharaz latzilo, lo havi hadayin ma'abed atzmo l'das. He has this very clever point, which he explores before the excerpt that I'm bringing you. He says, I have news for you. If you can still save him, he hasn't killed himself. Save for he's not called ma'abed atzmo l'das yet. Right? You were able to save him. V'od, and further, halo mechuyavim lahatzilo, mitam lafrushe me'isura sha'asa la'abed atzmo l'das. He says, just the opposite. I have a mitzvah of keeping people from sinning. This person is trying to commit an avera, taking his life. So I'm obligated to prevent him from committing an avera. The same way that if I see a Jew who's going to eat something non-kosher, I have a mitzvah to try to dissuade him, assuming that that's doable. Yeah, only if it's doable. But here too, here's a Jew who's about to take his life. He's committing an avera. Stop him! So therefore he says, I don't know what the Menachas Chinuch is talking about. Of course there's an obligation to stop. I thought that was very clever, this idea. Okay, fine. Back in the Nishmas Avram. At the end of the bold text, Lagabe Birkas HaGomel, he has a separate note, which is a fascinating question, which I didn't go into here, because we're dealing with really medical halachos. But he says, as far as Birkas HaGomel, the person who attempted suicide and wasn't successful, does he make a gomel after that? So he says, Re'ema Shekasavti Le'el, he says, yeah, I've had this discussion. Look elsewhere in the Nishmas Avram. Okay. Then he has in the different font, Agav. I don't remember. Agav.
I think the guy who says it.
That may be. He says, by the way, Bamed the Shogar Bifi Kol, Dahamahabed Atzmo L'das In Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. He says, there is this thing that people all say, that if someone attempts to commit suicide, he loses his share in the next world. He says, Lo Nimtza Kein Mefurish B'Shum Mamar Chazal. He says, I have to say, I haven't found that expressed clearly in any statement of our sages. Ve'enu lo mishna v'lo gemara. So there. Kamosha kasfu, and he says, by the way, I'm not the first one to discover this. Look at the following people who said this. The Sho'alu Meshiv, the Ma'ari Asad, the Tshuva Me'ava, who all said, I don't know what you're talking about. Re'ei sham b'pulam al mekor ha'mamar. They discuss where this may come from. They deal with this issue as well. Okay. Just to finish the 2 points here till we get to Ozayin, he says, Mamzer, the question of would you break Shabbos for different categories of people. So he said, what about a Mamzer? He says, there's a mitzvah of tzedakah, keeping him alive. Of course, you break Shabbos to save him too. The Cheresh Shote, the Chayesha, Goseis Chaymisa, Bamacher, he said, we'll get to all those other cases later on. So he says, hold on for all those other ones, or you can look elsewhere. So God willing, next week we will pick up with the question of how I gauge danger to warrant violating Shabbos.
Is he putting the Cheresh and the Shote in the same category as the Goseis?
No, he's saying that I'm going to discuss all of these different cases when we get to Shinchat Tess. He's not lumping all of these together. No. Okay, so God willing, we'll pick up then.